Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yep, sometimes by force.
Yeah. Some weeks.
Well, happy birthday, Daniel.
Thank you.
My gift to you
my
is...
my birthday book this week.
Yeah, and my gift to you is the torture that you had me endure for this week.
Thank you. I thought it was going to be like whatever book you pick for your birthday, you know? It's just passing it back and forward.
Yeah, I guess so.
Nathan, I have a hypothetical for you.
Okay.
So, imagine you have like the memory loss thing that they have on like 51st Dates, like Drew Barrymore has, and you forget everything every day. You pick one trade to have like on your nightstand that you wake up to every day. What are you picking to basically convince yourself to love comics? Well, not even love comics, just have a kick-ass comic.
Have a kick-ass comic. Okay, so, but in those movies, you remember everything up to a certain point, right?
Up until you got, yeah, assuming so you know how to eat and shit.
Are you saying your name like Nathan. One comic that I would read and like be reading it again for the first time pretty much? Or like, yeah. Can I not choose anything I've read before?
You can, okay, so you got the memory loss thing right before you started reading comics.
Okay, all
right,
Murder Falcon.
Murder Falcon every single time?
Yeah, I'm like, are they all like this? Is this what this fucking is? And it's sick. But only if I somehow know that Dana Warren Johnson had like the metal tracks that he recorded with it, and I'm listening to that like the same time.
I'll allow it. You have the CD.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I have the CD. You know, on that boat or whatever.
Yeah. Did he make CDs? That would have been cool if he did. I don't know. I think I just listened to them on like Bandcamp or something weird.
I thought it was on Spotify now.
Is it? Oh, he might be.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. But Murder Falcon, Dana Warren Johnson, good ass book. Kind of a turn your brain off type book, but sometimes those are the best.
Good pick.
Yeah. Daniel's looking at his shelf and realizing that it's all trash.
I just realized I didn't really think about this question at all.
You just gotta throw it out at me and you can't dish it out.
Yeah, dude. Fucking, I don't know. I kinda have a problem with everything that I'm looking at.
They're on your shelf. No one forced you. Because
like I'd like it to be like a pretty self-contained like trade, you know?
Yeah.
I was thinking like Lila Starr, but that'd be kind of, I feel like you appreciate that more if you've read a lot of comics, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's much of like a newbie book necessarily.
I think people would still like it. I think I've recommended that to newbies, but no one's ever like taken me up on it. It's like when you recommend me a movie. That's happened to me for Layla Starr.
Right.
But I think that's a good pick.
Maybe like Batman Year One. Like, I don't really talk about that one that much, but it is just pretty solid, you know?
Lame. I've been starting to get TikToks of just like people's random pulls from the comic shop. And there's this guy that gets like tons of things, not even just like weekly books, but he'll just get like a random trade or just like random back issues. And I was just like swiping through the slideshow to see like what he was rating everything. And he had Batman Year One, like the individual issues, I think. Or maybe ooh, it was like a collected trade or something, but he was like, this was mid overhyped. And I was like, no way. I imagine he'll go back to it and like have his mind completely changed once he like probably reads more, because he seemed like a young guy. But I thought that was funny.
He's like, all right, guys, I was wrong.
I mean, like Invincible, if there's like a complete of those, would be pretty good.
Not the first trade, though.
Oh, you're talking about it's like, not like around 150-ish like, pages?
Yeah.
I would probably do the first trade of Moon Knight, too. But the Declan Shalvey one, I really like that one. Jason Aaron Thor, that first trade's pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know what? Probably like the first trade of like the Rex trade of Venom. That was like pretty fucking like insane.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, and like be able to relive that every day would be pretty gnarly.
Yeah, that one feels pretty grand and like absurd at the same time. That's a good pick.
Yeah, that'd be all emo the rest of the day because I like Venom.
Yeah. A little spiral.
Anyway, in other news, oh, Nathan Dinger, he DM'd me the other day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, apparently he hasn't listened to the pod in like a year. He took like a year off from just comics in general. because he had a baby. That. He had a little son as well.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Yeah. And he was just like reaching out because he started listening again.
Mm.
And he realized that like he heard like My Baby News and stuff like that. And he was just like shouting out. He wanted to say what's up to you.
Oh,
things like that.
Shout out, Dinger. Hope your baby's good. And yeah. If you're back on comics, absolutely. I mean, now's a pretty fucking good time to get back. Like,
yeah, welcome back.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a lot of Absolute, a lot of Ultimate stuff you could probably just grab real quick. But yeah, shout out.
It seems so hard to like just not read comics for like a year while also seeing like feed of new stuff coming out.
Yeah, it would be tough for me. I think I could do it though.
Yeah. Loki.
Unless like something like insane, like there's a new Marvel DC coming out, which I think there might be, you know, then I would probably right. go in and just pick that up. But like it would have to be something like oh fucking Star Wars and like Marvel crossover or some shit like that.
Yeah. Anyway, but we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Scooby Apocalypse. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. And Nathan, I got Scooby Apocalypse news.
What?
I don't want to hear it. Scooby Apocalypse news.
I don't want to hear it. Is there more?
No, but September 16th, the omnibus will be coming out, collecting six trades of Scooby Apocalypse.
This shit was damn 30 issues ish.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It went for a minute.
That would take so long to read.
I know. It'd take like a year.
Yeah. That's cool. You know, if people like it, that's on them.
What, you got any news?
Not a whole lot of news. It's been, I mean, kind of a slow-ish kind of week, and we're also pretty ahead and recording in smaller times, mm-hmm. but there's a new three-issue series coming out. We might have talked about this last week, I don't know, but it's called Wolverines and Deadpools, announced for July 2025. Did you know about this? It mm-mm. is going to be...
It sounds awesome.
A Deadpool Wolverine, but the team's also going to have X-23 and the Lady Deadpool girl. That are like a part of it, and they're all in one book. So there's
they should have put like Dokken in there and like Kid Deadpool or something, or Kid Pool.
And they might be there, but from what I saw just on the cover art, it was like, you know, the original heroes and then like the girl versions of those heroes are just kind of like teaming up. So pretty cool. Yeah, it's gonna be by like... Cody Ziegler and Roger Antonio, who I'm not familiar with as far as art, but Cody Ziegler has been doing some stuff lately.
Nice. Yeah, you think it'd be like, this is like what, their fourth Deadpool Wolverine book that they came out with?
Yeah, there's been a lot of both of those guys around lately, so. Nice. There's the Superman preview thing, that's like a longer sort of preview. Do you see that?
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes. I didn't watch it. I saw that it came out, though.
I watched like 3 minutes of it, and I think I got distracted, and I forgot to go back, but looks good. Pretty exciting.
Cool.
There's memes of Batman or Superman being hit by like a beam of just sunlight to like heal him. It's pretty funny.
I haven't seen it.
Hmm.
Nathan, Skybound is going to be publicly traded.
Oh.
And they have like an early bird special thing for the nerds. You can buy a minimum of 5 stocks or 5 shares. And they're going to the moon, Nathan.
Let's pump Skybound. We're going to the sky.
Yeah.
Is Image publicly traded? I don't think so, right? Huh? Are any publishers publicly traded? I mean, I guess the big two kind of are, just parent companies. But is Image publicly traded?
The big two, they're like owned by companies that are publicly traded.
Right.
Like Disney and Time Warner and stuff like that. So, and I don't think Image is.
Hmm.
That would kind of suck. This doesn't seem like a good idea. Or like a good thing for comic readers?
No, but I mean, Robert Kirkman is still kind of like the owner of that, right? So he's kind of a moneymaker type dude.
Yeah.
Businessy type guy. So hopefully it doesn't go bad. I mean, I think it can, there's a very small chance it goes really well for him, but creatively for maybe those books, probably more likely that it would be bad.
Yeah.
But what's the stock price?
So to buy like the five minimum, maybe like $525.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm like, this should be a penny stock or something.
Yeah,
what
no,
do you
thank
mean?
You. Yeah, for real. I'll just buy their books.
So, it seems really just like a novelty thing, because I can't imagine it being like a really good part of your portfolio or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not retiring off that.
Mm-mm. Nathan, you like the book Love Everlasting?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be a movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess someone bought the option for it, and it's in development right now.
Wow, good for Tom and Elsa.
Yeah, I think I may have known who was attached to it, but I didn't write it down, so it must not have been that important. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah, good.
I can see that working.
I could too. Yeah, we read that for our Valentine's Day comic for the year before this. And I really enjoy that book, to be honest. So,
yeah. In other Tom news, Tom Taylor is doing another book with Derek Robertson.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, very, very timely news for us. They don't know what it is, but I don't know.
They're just doing
excited
something
about it, I guess.
Cool. They're yeah. I mean, I like their vibe together. Seems like a pretty natural fit. And
yeah.
Yeah. Tom's a good writer for Derek. I feel like with his sort of style of art, Tom's really able to match that and have fun ideas with it that he doesn't normally do too often, because a lot of his stuff is kind of more lighthearted, like, you know, Nightwing or like Teen Titans or whatever that he's been on. So that's pretty cool.
What do you think they're gonna do in the DC universe?
Dude, it'd have to be like a darker part of it, I would think. So maybe like a Swamp Thing, like some sort of you know, monster sort of horror thing, or it would be kind of crass and grim. But I don't know what character would fit that other than just Constantine, which they've already done.
Did Tom Taylor already do Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I forget who's with, but it was kind of a shorter run. He could do another one. I don't know if that really fits Derek too much either.
I think he could draw, like, you know, some
could do some like espionage. Maybe some like spy espionage thing, or like Grundy. Grundy would be cool.
You ever hear about that book called Hitman from DC?
Mm-hmm.
Like Garth Ennis was on it.
Yeah.
That was like a Hitman like in the DC universe. And if that's still like an IP that's able to be used, like that could be cool.
Yeah, I think that one had weird IP things tied to it. But that would be cool to see. Yeah. I'll be definitely getting it or checking out the first issue for sure.
Yeah. But anyway, Nathan, what book did we read this week?
We read Scooby-Doo Apocalypse by a whole host of people. Let me pull it up.
Mostly Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, Howard Porter.
Mm-hmm.
And then other artists were Dale Eaglesmith, Wellington Alves, and Scott Hanna.
Dale Eaglesham. 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 Not Eaglesmith.
Eaglesham? Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Hi-Fi and Colors. Nick Napolitano and Travis Lanham.
On letters. Yeah.
And this is based on a concept by Jim Lee. So I guess he just, I don't know. He's like, what if we read it in Scooby or something?
Yeah, I should have looked up the history of this book, because I remember this coming out. It was like pretty much around the time when I was getting into comics, so it was like kind of a big thing. Because it's kind of Scooby-Doo revamped for a modern era with like a little twist in there. And man, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be, and I did not like this, like really at all.
I don't know if it was exactly what I thought it was going to be, but it's a little dense.
Super dense for, like, not a lot happening. Like,
yeah.
Very dense first issue. I get that there's, like, fucking five origins you got to set up. But then as soon as you get the concept of what's going on, nothing happens, but it's just as dense, like, word-wise. And
I think that's
it's crazy.
The J.M. DeMatteis effect.
I think so.
He's, like, a very seasoned comic writer.
Yeah.
And I think he's just kind of perhaps stuck in his own ways. So like in the first in that, like the first credits in the first issue,
mm-hmm.
says J.M. DeMatteis, dialogue and more dialogue.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's like he knows he writes a lot, you know?
Yeah. Which, I mean, probably is good to give everybody some screen time. Like, I have like a fundamental idea of what these characters are about by the end of it. It's just a lot, man. And like, I don't love all the redesigns. I think the Scooby one, I think, is just the main one I have a problem with, because he's got this like little, he's got some technology on him, and I get like the fucking Powerball Z, you know, power level design thing. It looks fine on him, but I don't like what it does, because I don't think it serves or like does anything for him, because he puts it on and then like little emoji bubbles come out to express how Scooby-Doo is feeling. But what I don't understand about that is Scooby-Doo can tell, you could tell what he's feeling from his facial expressions, because Howard Porter does fucking kick ass in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And like every emoji that you see, Scooby-Doo's making that face. So it's like, what's the point of these emojis if Scooby-Doo's making a face more interesting than little emojis?
It's like a stream chat and he's just spamming emojis, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He's just like doing the Pepe emoji things. And it's like, you know, that's, it's just crazy to me.
Do you remember in like How I Met Your Mother, how when they had flashback to them being in college, and instead of them smoking weed, it'd just be them eating sandwiches and then yeah. act high?
Yeah.
So when I saw this cover, I thought like the sandwich was like an allegory for weed.
Dude,
and
could
I thought
be.
Like Shaggy was about to be like a pothead, and I was kind of looking forward to that.
I mean, I think he is still.
He probably is.
But they never explicitly say it. But I will say I do like Shaggy's design for like the modern era. He's just kind of hipster dude, but I mainly like his tattoos. I think it's cool. You don't really see character yeah. tattoos a lot, because that would be annoying to draw, I assume. But
yeah, like this volume isn't like a great arc, because it doesn't feel like it really wraps up.
Nothing.
Anything.
Like
yeah, very stretched out plot. But they don't know each other yet, so it is kind of like a reboot in a way. It's how they meet. This has like a lot of like 6-panel layouts. I thought that was an interesting choice. To like kind of repeatedly use that.
Oh yeah, I guess it does.
But it's kind of nice that we have like their voices in our head. You know, I still had like the cartoon voices.
Oh, I definitely used live action fucking Scooby-Doo when I was reading his dialogue, because I think
live
that's
action
just like
Scooby and Shaggy for sure. But yeah. I think everyone else it was like the cartoon.
Yep, for sure.
And one note, I think Fred and Shaggy should have kissed. I think that would have added a lot to this.
That would have been cool, I guess.
Yeah. This ain't your daddy, Scooby-Doo, you know?
Yeah, true. But let's get into it.
Yeah.
So it starts at the Blazing Man Festival with Daphne, who's there, who's a journalist, and Fred, who is the cameraman for Daphne. Daphne used to be like a big journalist, but now has like a low-rated ghost hunting TV show that she's been kind of reduced to. Shaggy and Scooby are already like friends. Scooby-Doo's like a lab experiment, but Shaggy was taking him to the same festival. Daphne meets her contact Velma to do like a secret meeting, because Velma has, you know, stuff to say about something. Scooby-Doo finds him there. Velma reveals that she wanted to meet with Daphne because the place that Velma works at, which is like this big lab complex, created a nanite technovirus that controls and transforms people, which may be activated soon. So she's going behind the lab's back to report it. At the time of them kind of going into the lab to do more journalist stuff, the nanites get activated and the group needs to figure out how to stop it. And that's pretty much the first issue.
Velma's a whistleblower.
She is. I could definitely see this version of Shaggy going to like a Burning Man festival. I think that's pretty funny. But apparently mm-hmm. the lab is like really close to like this big festival with like a ton of people. So it's just kind of convenient that it worked out that way, because they just walked to the lab.
It's in Nevada. So yeah. Maybe around Vegas or something.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, very wordy start. And there's also like a back issue thing of Shaggy being hired at the lab that Velma works at to be like a dog trainer for subjects like Scooby-Doo. So they kind of do experiments on dogs. And that part of the origin is kind of interesting to me. So I don't really know if there is like a genuine origin for Scooby-Doo and like why he can talk and stuff like that. That's not really important, but I think it's kind of funny that they do that here.
Yeah. I guess Shaggy's name is Norville Rogers.
Yeah, they keep using their like fucking God-given names in this, and I don't really know anybody like that.
Yeah.
Like, Velma, her last name's like Dinkley, I think, and I'm like, who are they talking about? I mean, Dinkley makes sense for that character, just like as a name, but like, I was just confused.
Shaggy says he's got a Nana. He probably pronounced it Nana, but in my head, I'm like, oh, he's got a Nana. Yeah, he's Mexican.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And what was I saying? Oh, I just kind of wrote about the emoji glasses being kind of dumb.
But is Scooby, like, canonically a Great Dane?
I don't think so. His ears are pointy in this, because that's what a Great Dane does. But I think they're normally, like, droopy, aren't they?
Yeah. Or they're, like, kind of small.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a Basset Hound or anything, but...
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see him being a Great Dane, just the ears are a little bit different, which I think is fine. He also has, like, big cow spots on him, which I don't know. Did I get gaslit? Like, or is this, like, a Mandela effect? He's just, like, all brown, typically, isn't he?
No, he's got some spots.
He does?
Yeah.
In the show?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't look it up?
I'm going to Google Scooby-Doo right now. There's no damn spots on that boy.
They're on a page. Shaggy's like looking for Scooby. He's like, Scooby-Doo, where are... Oh, there you are.
Dude.
You know, they almost said it.
Yeah, no, they took that away. Dude, he does have spots.
Mm-hmm.
If I visualize him, he's just brown dog with blue collar. But yeah, I guess so. Wow, that's interesting. Howard Porter is incredible in this, like throughout the whole time. If he was not on this and it was somebody lesser, I would despise this book and fall asleep throughout reading it. So I just got to say that he does a lot of heavy lifting in this, because
it's definitely very strong, and it keeps it really close to like the Jim Lee design, so it's not like too much of a transition.
Yeah, so he's cool. I forget even what else I know him from, but I know I've read a couple different things from him. I think we've done a book with Howard Porter on there. I just can't recall what it is, but I'm definitely aware of his stuff. I think he's done some Green Lantern that I've read.
Okay.
Justice League. Can't remember.
But kind of reminds me of that dude who's on like Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yeah. It does seem. I think that might be Howard Porter.
No, it's like a got like a V in it. It's like a weird name. Oh, but, okay. Speaking of Howard Porter's art, on page 22, when Shaggy and Velma are like walking up these stairs, Shaggy's sleeve is missing. His like tattoos.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Since then, I've been looking for it to see if he got missed, but this is just the one time.
Really? That's so.
I let it slide. I mean, maybe it's like
maybe that was on the colorist. Because the tattoos don't look like they were drawn. It's kind of just like a they almost look faded, I guess, or something. So I feel like that might be on the colors to add on there. So I don't know if that's Howard's fault.
Okay. That's possible.
Yeah.
Anyway, issue two.
Yep. So issue two, they're walking around the lab and they find a scientist that is mutated and he's turned into a creature that attacks Velma. Scooby knocks him down, and a second creature appears, and the creatures fight, which lets the gang sort of escape. But it turns out the whole complex is filled with creatures, so the gang gets guns from the lab that are just in the closet somewhere. And Shaggy finds a coworker while they're walking around, and that coworker was also turned to a creature. Daphne shoots it in the neck, killing her, and then the gang needs to leave the complex, so they find an armored vehicle that has been called the Mystery Machine. So
yes,
that they can leave. And I'm like, good God. Man, some of the origins for these things are so strange and like forced almost, but whatever.
Nah.
Like,
just let it
like,
play out.
Why does this lab have a bunch of guns? Just like in the like M16, like ARs and handguns, like an assortment of guns, and they're just kind of in the closet somewhere. I just think that's funny. It is kind of cool seeing like Daphne shoot a gun, you know, or like Red shoot a gun. You know, I'm down for that. But man, it's just kind of funny that it worked out for him.
Yeah, like when Daphne's shooting, it makes like a tacow sound. I'm like, is that what an AR sounds like?
Yeah. they took some liberties with the lettering there.
I like the monster designs though.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, all of the monster designs are so unique. If like from each other, and they're a lot of them are just kind of like there for a couple panels or something. So I think Howard does a lot to make this book a little bit more interesting, like look at visually and something. And like, there's even like some gore in this, which is kind of interesting for a Scooby-Doo book. But I think that was fun. And seeing the gang hold guns, super fun. But it kind of helps get through a lot of the yapping and sort of some of the nonsense of the book, just seeing the creature designs.
Yeah. Later issues, they will do like a swarm of the same monster, probably to save time, you know?
Yeah.
And make it less creative, needing to be creative on his part.
Yeah.
But, and I like how these characters are like kind of going through like guilt from killing these monsters who like were once people, and they don't know if they can't be turned back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of weighs on Daphne a lot. She's like, I don't know. Like, these were coworkers of these people. Who knows if they can even come back? We don't really understand what's going on, but she just killed somebody. So wild. But issue 3, the gang sort of blasts their way through the garage to get to the mystery machine, and Fred gets scratched while Shaggy figures out how to start it, and then they end up driving through the lab's gate and escape. They get to the Blazing Man Festival, and they find out that the technovirus has been spread to the festival, and everybody there's been turned to creatures, as well as probably everyone across the world, but they can't really make that judgment yet. And the gang leaves to go get snacks at a gas station, thinking it's empty, but there's actually a vampire in there.
A vampire, your favorite!
As soon as I saw a vampire, I'm like, oh my god, we are not doing vampires.
It's like I like proofread it for you.
Dude, yeah, it really feels like you've edited it to just.
No, that's just luck.
Yeah, I was like, how do people get turned into creatures, but this guy specifically got turned into a vampire? And I'm like, maybe the vampire is just like a regular ass character that lives in this world. No, he also just dies later and we don't see him again, not in this issue at least, but I assume he comes back at some point, because it's just so weird to like have a vampire get created from this techno virus that turns people into monsters. But
yeah, I mean, I think the first batch of like monsters, it's like a lot of like universal looking monsters. Like there's werewolves and black lagoons, and there's like a mummy guy. Yeah. I'm like, is this just the universal land over here or something? But
yeah, which that would have been kind of interesting too, maybe, but I don't know. There's a funny panel at the gas station where Scooby-Doo is standing in front of like a dead body by the hot dog area, and Shaggy says Scooby's mourning over the rotten hot dogs that are there. And it's just funny to see him like standing in front of a dead body and mourning, but it's for hot dogs. I thought that was good.
There's a page where they all say their catchphrase. I thought that was fun.
Oh, yeah. There's like a Zoinks and a Jankies and stuff.
And we better split up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fun to just read Scooby's dialogue, because again, I have the live action one in here, but there's a part that kind of made me chuckle where Shaggy's doing like a sanity check with Scooby, and Scooby's like, yeah, he says ringing in for hanging in there pretty much. And he's like, yeah, I'm ringing in. And I just think that's funny. But we actually get a switch up in artists a little bit. There's still Howard Porter for like present stuff, but for whatever reason this issue was split up non-linearly for escaping the lab. That was done by Dale Eaglesham for the flashback parts, and then Howard Porter was the parts outside of the lab, which is fine, and I think they're both pretty good at this. Actually, it wasn't like too distracting, but it's just weird that Howard Porter has been doing this up to this point, and when they leave the, like when they're just about to leave the lab, this scene pretty much, it's still not Howard Porter doing that part. Like, it's just weird that they weren't reversed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that jarring.
No, it's not.
Of a transition, which I, like, appreciate. Like, it still seems like he's doing, like, his style, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I guess if you, like, were looking for it. This is the only time I did notice it, so.
Yeah. There's a wild panel.
There's a panty shot. Is that what you're about to talk about?
There's like a wild just upskirt, like Velma shot. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, what is this smut?
Yeah, it's crazy. So that was the only thing where I was like, what the fuck is going on?
How do you feel about how like Velma's eyes?
Like through the glasses.
Yeah, like through the lens.
I think it works. Yeah, I think it's fun. It's a fun design. Like having just big sort of goggly sort of glasses, and then you could see like the shape of like her eyes in just like white silhouette type thing. I think that's fun.
Yeah, some pages you can like see her pupil.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. She kind of looks like Dr. Manhattan to me, you know, with the no pupil, it's just white.
Yeah, but a little bit.
Also, it kind of makes it seem like she's hiding something. You know, you can't see the lies in her eyes.
Yeah, true.
But issue four.
So everyone gets food at the gas station. The vampire calls for more creatures to come. Scooby-Doo attacks a vampire. Daphne shoots like the top half of the vampire's body off because there's a bigger, stronger gun in the mystery machine. So the vampire starts to regenerate. So the gang drives off and they get to Malmart for more resources. Velma discovers that they may not be the only ones not infected. And as Shaggy and Fred are like starting to load up the truck or the van, there's a bunch of demons that are about to attack.
So, and
I feel like the cliffhangers for this whole book are just like, oh my God, there's another monster that's about to sneak up on him. You know what I mean? It's resolved
in 7 pages.
Yeah, I know. Like the last one was a vampire and the vampire just got shot and then they left. And it's like, who is that? What was that guy supposed to be? And then this one, it's just like, oh, there's demons coming. You better read the next issue. And like, when they're all just like, look, a monster. You know, it's like, it's not very enticing, but there's also like a part in this I just straight up don't understand, because they went to the Walmart and Velma's like, wow, look at this thing. I don't think that we're the only people that weren't infected, but she's holding something that's like clearly super green and monster looking. But I don't like know what she's holding and how she came to the conclusion that they might not be the only people that haven't been turned into creatures. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's this panel right here. She's holding something and I can't tell what it is. And I'm like, what is that? And how does that tell you that there's other people out there?
Yeah, maybe it's like a weird ring or something.
Yeah, it's on page 104, but I was like, I tried so long trying to figure out what I was supposed to get from this, because that looks like a creature to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's like kind of like, you can tell it's kind of written like a weekly story, because there's like subtle recap like panels,
yeah,
that like kind of tell you what they've been through, what the situation is, mm-hmm. And then Daphne keeps saying she doesn't trust Velma.
Yeah, you know? By the way, I still don't trust you. Same as last issue. Nothing's
changed.
Or it'll be my employers wanted to control people, but I came to you to do the interview. You know, so. Yeah, there's a lot of like remembering or recalling what happened.
Yeah, they were like brainstorming like what could have happened or whatever. And then Velma's like, please, this isn't a comic book.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, ha.
I think it's convenient how the mystery machine, like Daphne goes in there and she finds some like armor and stuff to like put on. And I think it's very convenient that it fits her color scheme. For like what she normally wears, like she's wearing like armored like fucking purple and green shit.
It has to. I'm like,
is there like a white and red thing for Fred to wear in there too?
There's a High School Musical reference.
And I don't know if I caught that.
High School Musical, man, I loved that movie when I was in middle school.
Oh,
and so it's like, is Shaggy like our age?
Yeah, because we were.
Or was it more like elementary school when that came out?
I think it was more elementary school for us when that came out. So he's like a little bit older than us.
Maybe like J.M. DeMatteis just like asked his grandkids. He's like, what's popular?
what was huge, you know, when you were in school?
Yeah. Fred's like, we're all in this together, you know? And then
Fred's like a huge simp for Daphne throughout the book.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because like, I think that's the only thing that's reinvented about his character. They don't really go into a whole lot of Fred lore in this, just other than the fact that he proposed to Daphne once, and like they used to be together. Well, he proposed in this book. Just
I
like
thought they were never together.
No, they were together for like sometimes. A little bit in college, but then they broke up because they didn't work as a couple or something. But he's still in love with her, and now he just follows her around with a camera. Like you break up with your ex, and now you're following her around with a camera. That's what his origin is. It's like a little creepy if you think about it.
Yeah. And then we see Scrappy Doo, Nathan.
Yeah, the other dog experiments are running around outside the lab, and they're all kind of led by Scrappy Doo, which I think is kind of a fresh idea. I do enjoy that. I like knowing that there are more sentient, intelligent dogs from the same lab, but they have like varying levels of intelligence. Like, they're just trying to upgrade their tech throughout this book because it'll eventually, like, I don't know, die or something.
Yeah.
So I think that's a cool Scrappy origin for this. Issue 5. Fred starts shooting the demons while Shaggy tries to get away. Everyone runs into like a stock room and barricades the door. But Freddy and Scooby need to see if there's like any other entrances to the room that they're in. And so while they look around, they find a little girl that turns out to be a plant creature and attacks them. Scooby's able to kill this little girl creature. And the demons hear that there's a fight. So the gang just kind of hides on top of some shelves and wait for the demons to just lose interest and leave. And then Daphne finds a laptop that Velma can use to hopefully contact another lab for some more information and help. And then I got to say, thank God there were silent pages in this issue.
I put that exact same thing.
I'm like, good Lord, there's 5 pages where they're hiding from demons and no one's saying anything. And I was like, this is wonderful. I'm burning through this book now. But I really like this little girl creature as a concept. It's like, she looks like a little girl on the outside, and then when you get close, there's like a Venus flytrap type shit that like comes out and tries to bite you. So that was kind of cool.
There's clearly something not right with her, you know, but...
Yeah. Yeah, she's got weird like green eyes and stuff, but... But Scooby kills a kid, which is a little crazy.
Yeah, I didn't expect like them to just hide would be like a solution in this book.
Yeah, because they don't, I mean, like, they hide, kind of, but they always deal with the problem eventually in the thing. Like, Scooby and Shaggy will go hide in, like, a barrel or something.
Yeah.
Until they can regroup with everybody and figure out a plan, but they never just, like, hope that it goes away, you know?
There's a bit when Daphne is, like, yelling at Shaggy about something, and he's like, weren't you just saying something about too much noise? You know, because they didn't want to attract...
Yeah.
Like the monsters, you know? Like, ooh, good burn. And then this one doesn't have a cliffhanger.
Yeah, no, this one, it doesn't have a, oh, look, there's another monster kind of cliffhanger, but it's also kind of the end of the main story, I would say. There's one more issue with, like, some origin stuff, but, like, that was the whole arc.
Yeah.
It's, like, the first issue they established, you know, what these people are, who they are, and that there's an apocalypse happening. And then the subsequent issues don't really solve anything, or really you don't find out that much more about the state of the world throughout it. They're just like running. And so I think that's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, this definitely could have been like condensed to like 3 issues maybe.
Totally.
Had like 2 more. But especially like if it's the last issue of the arc and there's no cliffhanger, it's kind of crazy.
Yes. So that's why I think they tacked on these like 2 other stories that are like kind of shorter but give kind of more context to the world, because you actually get a lot of important information out of like this Velma origin story.
Yeah.
But pretty much what it is it's an origin story for Velma, who as a kid was like way too smart and like pretty unsocial during school. And she eventually like even tells off her only friend and isolates herself. She gets homeschooled and she gets like 5 doctorates by the time she's 17. And it's revealed that the 4, who are the people that Velma refers to in the actual arc, the 4 is like the 4 scientists that have to activate the virus in order for it to take effect. The 4 is actually her 4 brothers that, you know, when they grew up, they sort of created this lab, and the nanites were originally created by Velma with the help of the brothers to reduce violence in people and kind of tone down that emotion in people so that humanity can progress. But the 4 brothers tweaked them without Velma knowing to make people docile and just like controllable by them so they could have like way more power. And so that's why Velma went to Daphne initially as a journalist to be a whistleblower. So like that's pretty big shit. There's a lot of yapping in this one too about her like being better than everybody, you know, and stuff like that, which I didn't care for. But that little twist, I'm like, there's something, you know? That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
But whatever. And then there's a Scrappy Doo origin kind of him like running around with the dogs that are running around during the apocalypse. They're trying to find Velma to upgrade their tech. But Scrappy-Doo manages, he's able to like make himself super buff somehow. He can like shapeshift a little bit because he's like a little dog, but now he's big dog with muscles. And that's pretty much everything with Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah, I guess it was like some addition to like his tech that, I don't know, like it was, wasn't it like not even?
It's like not even explained well.
Well, it's not, they haven't like tried it out or anything. So this is kind of like experimental. So yeah. It basically becomes like as a human body, you know?
Yeah.
But which it's is still Scrappy-Doo. It's not really like origin pages. It's just kind of like
where this is just subsequent right stuff. But the Velma one was like a secret origin type thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all just whatever, you know? But that's the end of the book.
Yay!
All right, so let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We got covers. Some variants by some big hitters. I should say we got a Neil Adams one. Rest in peace to that guy. We got Ben Coldwell, which is like kind of a cool stylistic cover. I haven't heard of this artist before. Mm-hmm. Pretty sweet. There's apparently an adult coloring book version of the Jim Lee cover. That's the cover of this trade. So I guess you can find that somewhere and color it in yourself. Joelle Jones. You got Dan Panosian. Another Howard Porter variant. John Paul Leone does one, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's cool to see.
I saw that. I saw it and I was like, this looks like John Paul Leone. And I looked at the credits and I'm like, it is John Paul Leone. Which is cool. Dennis Cohen. So they got some big hitters. Francis Manapul. But I think those are the ones that I know. And then we get some character sketches by Howard Porter. And some designs for like the Mystery Machine, even though it doesn't look like that in the book. There's actually no sauce for the Mystery Machine in the book, which I have a problem with. It's not a fun color green. It doesn't say the Mystery Machine on it. There's no yellow.
It's kind of like the Tumblr, like Batmobile.
Yeah, but at least that has like the same color scheme as like the Batmobile. You know what I mean?
Black.
Black. Exactly.
It is green, but it's just like
it's like a dark green. It's like not the right, it's not groovy, and I know it's not supposed to be groovy, but you could like make it green and like have like a little yellow accents in there. It doesn't even need to say Mystery Machine on the side, but I think they could have gotten a little bit closer to Mystery Machine to make it feel fine.
Yeah,
but yeah, some cool character sketches. There's even some by Jim Lee in there, which I feel like he took literally 2 seconds to do because they're very not detailed whatsoever.
Get the point.
And that guy sketches fast. I've tuned into his Twitch stream and he'll throw out a kick-ass Batman in like 5 seconds.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, think about how many Batmans that dude's drawn in his lifetime.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's just like muscle memory at that point. So what did you read this book, Nathan? Give us some Scooby snacks. Question.
I would no Scooby snacks for this book. I give it like some bullshit sandwich that I don't like. it's like not even a full sandwich. It's like a half sandwich. What's it called when there's just like, it's like fancy open face things. Why bruschetta? Am I forgetting the name? Yeah, bruschetta. But bruschetta's good. Imagine a shitty bruschetta. And it's like, that was something, you know, I guess it's technically a sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't know. Art's great. There's just a lot going on, but nothing going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't love all of it. You know what I mean? So, I mean,
like two tweaks to this, it's a way better book. You know?
I can see why people would like this. It's just not for me, but it is a well-made comic and I can recognize that. But man, I was falling asleep reading this a lot of the time.
Yeah. It's kind of tough with like such a cool concept. And it not really having like the flow that you want it to.
Yeah.
You know, that just kind of makes it like tougher to read. But
mm-hmm.
I give it a like one of those little snack bags of like the graham cracker Scooby snacks.
Those are good.
Those are good. I don't know if they still make them.
I remember Carter bought some and they were just in the pantry and I wanted to steal so many of them. And I did.
Yeah, you got it. That's your house.
Yeah. True. So let's go into the poll list, Colin.
Shove in your box.
The pull is, the pull is. What did you shove in your box?
I don't know what week we're on. We're pre-recording a lot of these because Dan's getting a little child. He has a child as we're recording this. So
yeah.
What week is this, and what week, what's coming out? What am I getting? You tell me.
Oh shit. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, you tell me what I get.
Okay, so it's the books that come out on April 16th.
Big week. I don't know.
Yeah. So Absolute Flash number 2 comes out. Are you gonna get 2?
Depends on how big the week is. Okay. I liked the first issue. I don't know if it's enough. It was of the absolute first issues, I'll probably rank that one like 4.
Uh-huh. So what's 5?
I probably really like 5. I think I like all the other ones better.
Okay. We got TMNT number 8.
Yep. Grabbing that.
We got New Gods number 5.
Yes, dude.
Yes, sir. We got Ace, number 2. Assorted Crisis events. Are you going to grab 2?
One was really good. Is it the same artist?
Oh, I don't know. Mm. Who was the artist? Do you remember?
I don't. It was somebody I had never heard of before, but man, they crushed that. It was really, really strong. So if it's the same guy, if not, I'll flip through it. See if it looks
Eric
good.
Eric Zawadzki.
I don't think. Was that the guy that did the first one?
Yeah.
It is? Same guy?
Same team as the second one.
Okay, I'll pick that up.
For sure. DCX Sonic 2?
Should I get that? I'm going to get it, yeah. I didn't want one to cook as much as it did. But it was kind of fun, and I like the iterations of all the characters, and fucking Darkseid's flying a Darkseid ship thing like with his face on it.
It's
ridiculous. And like Shadow's talking to Batman, and they're talking about the pain that they've endured. And I'm like, this, okay, you know what? I'll get number 2. They've earned it.
Okay. Godzilla v Hulk.
I think I'm gonna skip a lot of those Godzilla Marvel things. There's a lot of them coming out, so yeah. maybe I'll get the highlights after the fact, but.
Yeah. Did you read anything?
So here's another reason why I didn't like this book. It kept me from reading the books I want to read, which includes Absolute Green Lantern. I haven't had the chance to read it. So, man, I'll never forgive Scooby Apocalypse for that. A book that came out over 10 years ago, I think.
2016. About,
okay, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
So, no, I didn't get the chance to read any of my daily comics.
Mm.
Did you? Mm.
Yeah.
What'd you get? Or what'd you read?
I read New Gods, number 3 and 4.
Nice.
So I'll caught up on that.
I haven't read 4.
Dude, I read 3 and I was like, uh-oh.
Why? Like, I thought it was good.
No, I was like, what the fuck is happening? You know,
oh, there's
like,
a lot
who
of
are
that,
these
yeah.
people? And there's so many names, so many crazy designs. And I'm like, I was like, I felt like I needed like a encyclopedia or something to
for
like,
sure.
I'm like, are these new people?
Yeah.
Are they old people? I want to like DM Ron B and just be like, what do I need to read to understand what you're saying?
How do I know ball? Like,
yeah.
You.
And he'll just tell me like everything, you know? And
yeah,
I'm like, that's
much.
No help.
I am convinced that he's read everything and he's met Jack Kirby and talked to him about New Gods. Like that's
right.
That's the level of understanding.
But then I read 4 and Evan Cagle is a treasure.
Uh-huh, yeah.
This number 4 is so fucking good. I don't want to hype it up too much, but it's so good.
I'll put it on the top of the stack. I'll make sure I read it.
Arguably the best issue.
Ooh, huge praise.
I think. I don't remember what happens, but I remember liking it a lot.
That's the sign of a good New Gods book.
Yeah. And then I read Saga 72. So I'll cut up on that. Good stuff.
Now you're with us, real fans of Saga.
Yeah, kind of a weird issue because it's kind of like recapping where everyone is right now.
Yeah, there's like a big thing happens and then it's like, here's everybody's reaction. And like,
yeah.
I think that's the end of like, I always read the little blurbs that BKV does, or at least like the first paragraph, and he's like, yep, we're officially 2/3 of the way done with this book. And I'm like, that's crazy. So this is like a like an issue or something big happens, but it's kind of setting up. It's kind of the end of an arc, essentially. So
yeah.
Exposition type stuff.
Then I read that Vigilante number one.
Mm-hmm.
Vigilante / Eagly. Pretty good.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
The you remember that Peacemaker Tries Hard that came out like right after the show?
Yeah.
I didn't think like that book really captured the like the spirit of like the show. But mm-hmm. this definitely did like a way better job of that.
Yeah, they really matched the John Cena sort of ignorant crassness, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like that John Cena does in that. And it's really good. Same thing with Vigilante, just kind of being sort of this like bumbling idiot kind of running around, but he's really good at fighting, you know? So
yeah.
Yeah, I like the setup for it. It's a fun idea.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be able to pick it up every week, but it is some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Godzilla versus Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
You know what I didn't realize before what? I bought this? That JRJR is on art.
Yeah, he is. Yes, and, sir.
Oh my God, that was such a bummer.
I forgot about that.
It's yeah. like in the, it's written by Ryan North, you know, the current Fantastic Four writer.
Yep.
But he writes it like in a really campy way. And he sets that issue like in between like a couple issues in continuity, but in between issues that came out in like the 60s. So he's writing it as if this book came out in the 60s.
How do you know?
Because it's fucking dense and like everything that they say is like obvious. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like it's just like that campy kind of like writing, or not even campy. It's just like, that shit that just, it just doesn't like flow how shit comes out today. So right. It's a bit of a chore.
Damn. But it's
only one shot, so that's good.
Yeah, that's good. How did JRJR do? Did he do what he does? Or was it better because it's Godzilla?
He did what he does, you know?
Okay.
But nothing, there wasn't a lot of like zoom in shots on like characters. So it's not like, there's like a ton of detail in it. Maybe it's like a inker thing or something, but. And then I read You'll Do Bad Things.
Oh, yeah.
By Tyler Boss.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else.
Yeah, I forget the artist as well.
But Oatsman Alhouse Letters.
Yep. Like that guy.
Yeah.
He's typically on a good book.
Yep. Yeah, pretty good writing. Tyler Boss has proved himself as a writer already, and the art's really good. It kind of reminds me of Tyler Boss as well, so I think that's like kind of a good fit.
Cool.
So it's like a book about a writer who's writing about a serial killer, and I'm like, this reminds me of The Deviant, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's maybe supposed to be telling us like at the end that the things that he's like writing are potentially like actually happening, like people are actually getting murdered, but like that wasn't like obvious. But I just thought like the last scene, I'm like, what was that for? You know,
that's so what I understood as the pitch of the book.
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, I didn't think too hard about it.
Mm.
It was just like creator and solid title, I guess.
So, yeah, good title.
Did you watch anything recently?
I watched the first episode of a new anime on Netflix called Devil May Cry.
Uh-huh.
Sophie saw that Evanescence did a music video for this show with like new Evanescence music, and that's like her favorite. And so she's like, oh my God, I'm so excited for Devil May Cry.
Because they did the intro song?
No. You know who did do the intro song? Is Limp Bizkit.
Yes, sir.
And so I was watching the show and I'm like, this is good animation. And then the intro came on and I'm like, is that Limp Bizkit?
roll it.
Yeah. Like the Limp Bizkit song. I don't think they made any other ones actually, but yeah. I thought that was a pretty funny intro that kind of fits but kind of doesn't. I don't really know. But
sounds like a banger so far.
Show is good. There's some interesting animation in there, like really fluid action. There's a world that's kind of set up in a weird way. I never really played the game, so I don't like, I understand like what it looks like as a game, but I don't really know anything about the world. But Daniel, do you know who voice acts in this? That was incredibly surprising for me. Is
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that he was in this?
Yeah, I saw a TikTok about it.
Dude, that fucking knocked me on my ass because I was like, Kevin Conroy? Like, he must have, like, this must have been in development for a while because he sadly passed away like last year. But man, he just does Batman in this. So if you like Batman and you want to hear Batman's voice again, he plays like a general or something in this.
He died in 2022.
Jesus, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's so long ago. So then this must have been one of the last things he did for sure.
Yeah, I guess they do like the voice recording first and then they animate around it.
Yeah, so, typically, yeah.
And then it looks really good as far as the like quality of animation. So I can see it
totally
lasting a while. It looks interesting.
Yeah, I think the main character, Dante, he's like a assassin that will take out demons and stuff. The demon designs are really, really good. Like really strong, really fun to look at. And then Dante kind of is just Deadpool from what it seems like. Like he's an assassin and he'll like make a joke while he's killing somebody, you know.
Mm.
And not all of those land, but everything else like around that is really strong. So yeah, I'll probably keep going with it.
For sure.
I think there's 10 episodes or something on Netflix. And then me and Sophie finished Dead Space 1. Took us a little bit, but
nice.
We finished that. So we're probably going to jump on to Split Fiction next.
You done torturing her?
Yeah. And dude, that game gets... We were even playing on easy mode, but it gets pretty hard and really scary still. Even though, like, you have guns that can do the job, but they find ways to fucking sneak up on you. And then they get... I think they're called necromorphs. They start to, like, sprint at you, like, really fast. And they're, like, really quiet. So sometimes they'll just run up on you, like, from behind and shit.
Don't like that.
The game's amazing, though. I played the original 360 version. They've remastered it and changed the plot a little bit, to my understanding. But playing the original 360 one, it like still holds up incredibly well. So,
nice.
Good game.
Great. I didn't really watch anything, actually. So, just cool. Kind of, you know, reality television and the next episodes and things mm-hmm. that I'm watching. So.
Yeah, a lot of stuff coming out right now. So
I feel like there's not a lot of stuff coming out. Like it's all ending, you know?
Yeah, a lot of it is, actually.
Then I have nothing.
Side Effects, done. Pit's about to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of those.
Yeah, I really just have like the studio, and I guess I should like catch up on like Daredevil, but
yeah, I am like 2 episodes behind Daredevil right now, I think.
Did you watch episode 3 with the trial?
Yeah.
That episode fucking rocked. I thought that was
awesome.
So good.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And then the way it ends, too, I'm like,
I was like, oh, brother. Fuck.
I'm like, that's it? He's done? Like, that's what we're doing? So, yeah. It's good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, they do good lawyer stuff. It feels like, stylistically, the show... Like the vibes of it aren't like, or like the aesthetic of it aren't really the same. And I can't really pinpoint what it is. It's probably just like the Netflix look of it isn't there. And so it feels a little bit off.
It's like not as dark.
Not as dark. Yeah.
Probably, I mean,
it's
moves
more
ingrained
like MCU. So people are talking about, I don't know, the Hulk and shit, but, or like just, they're just okay with powers and they're talking about it in a courtroom setting, which is cool. That's what I like about like Charles Soule Daredevil run.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it feels a little bit different, but a very worthy. Like sequel series so far.
He's like, Your Honor, he did not use his magic amulet, you know.
And everyone's like, no way, he didn't do that, you know. They're like, that must mean he's chill, maybe we like him.
Yeah,
so pretty funny.
Anyway, Nathan, what are we gonna read next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
Good question. It's gonna be Thunderbolts.
Wrong. It's gonna be Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees.
Oh yeah, Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees. Fuck that Thunderbolts book.
And then Thunderbolts.
And then Thunderbolts, which we like.
Yeah.
Yeah, Beneath the Trees. Eisner Award winning, I'm pretty sure. Can't remember. It should have won awards if it didn't.
Definitely nominated, though.
Definitely nominated. May have gotten robbed. If it didn't, then good.
I don't know. Can you imagine, like, your first book you put out gets, like, the award?
That shit happens.
Yeah. Maybe.
That shit happens for movies.
Sometimes.
Talk to
Sometimes.
Me.
What, you think Talk to Me got Oscars?
Oh, maybe not. Did you see that those guys are making a new movie called, like, Bring Her Back?
Yeah.
That looks scary.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it's
somewhat
about.
Scary.
Like, I saw the trailer. I'm like, I guess it's scary. I don't know.
I think a mom gets resurrected, but she's not chill anymore.
Mm. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway, Beneath the Trees. Tune in next week.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Let us know if you liked Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, or if it gets better, or if there's more crazy twists that I should read, but I won't.
Tell Nathan he's wrong. At traderspod@gmail.com.
I would love to hear people out. Yeah, traderspod@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, and goodbye.
Bye.